You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We give you a lot of local perspective on the Chicago Bears because we know this team through and through better than anybody else. But today, I think it'd be valuable to take a step back and get a little bit more of an outsider's view of how things go to take away some of that bias we might have from just being so close to the team and seeing everything about them every day. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we will be joined by Matt Williamson, the host of Locked On NFL here on the Locked On Podcast Network, to go through this Bears quarterback competition and some of the different things we're seeing on this all-important Bears offensive development that's going to be critical to their success in 2020. Matt is a former scout in both the NFL and college football. He spent a decade at ESPN analyzing the NFL, and now he talks on the Locked On Podcast Network 5 days a week, moving over to the new Peacock and Williamson show that I highly recommend you subscribe to for all of your NFL analysis. And today he joins us on the Locked On Bears podcast. All right, Matt, it seems like this offseason we haven't had a lot of, you know, big quarterback controversy around the NFL. It kind of feels more or less limited to the Bears and to some extent like the Patriots with Cam Newton, but he's already running away with that one for the most part. But in Chicago, so far, it's fairly even split, albeit on a limited sample size of practices. Mitch Trubisky versus Nick Foles. And I guess with you, I wanted to start. I haven't gotten your take on that from the beginning. You know, when the Bears traded for Nick Foles, traded a fourth-round pick and restructured the contract a little bit, but still paying him, I think, a good $17 million guaranteed over the next few seasons. What were your thoughts initially on Foles being the choice in Chicago? And I guess, what are some of your expectations for how this quarterback competition will play out?
We might bite heads on your team here because I'm not super impressed. I mentioned it last, you know, segment that the trade-ups have been somewhat catastrophic in terms of what they've had to give up, and they need to stop that trend. And I'm kind of going to go down that road, too, with Nick Foles. And I don't think Foles is a bad player. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's a spot starter, super high-end backup that's very streaky. And his good streaks are awesome. His bad streaks are worrisome. And I think we know who he is now. But to answer your question directly, I thought it was a little bit of the coward's way out because I would have liked to seen somebody that would have rocked the boat more. Cam Newton, Winston, somebody like that with higher upside that might be the long-term answer, that might offend Mitch, that might, you know, not be as well known to the staff. And I understand that familiarity in the COVID offseason is very important, but I felt like they settled for a leadoff walk.
I think that's a good way to put it. I was with you 100%, you know, especially at the time. It felt like settling is a good word there. Like they wanted to appease Mitch in some way, mm-hmm. you know, to say, hey, we still want to give you an opportunity, but we also want to have a backup plan. He's Mitch insurance rather than getting, you know, a solid sure thing or as close to a sure thing as you can get in free agency in a historic offseason where Tom Brady was available, Philip Rivers was available, Teddy Bridgewater was available, Winston, Newton, and so many others, you know, lingered on, Andy Dalton as well. And not that all of them are instant upgrades over everything Mitch can do, and not that all of them were even realistic for the Bears, but it felt like they had this treasure trove of opportunity in front of them, and not only did they not sign anybody, but they gave up a fourth-round pick to get Nick Foles.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Familiarity goes a long way, but I guess, I mean, if good streaky Foles comes through, can you see this paying off in some way? It's just a matter of what are the probabilities that we're working with here.
I'm going to kind of switch gears and ask your opinion on this too, because I think it's a really interesting conversation. But my take on Trubisky is, I'm not big on Trubisky. I mean, that's not, I'm not the only one out there that doesn't think Trubisky probably isn't the answer. That being said, I think people are a little too rough on the guy right now because I thought he finished the season pretty strong when he was healthier. I thought much like a Josh Allen, I think he has to use his legs a lot to be an effective NFL quarterback. And for much of the season, he didn't, where he did as a rookie. So I think if he's healthy and he runs more and is less structured or designed quarterback runs, that Trubisky can be better than people think. Does that mean he's ever going to be a top 15 guy? Probably not. So for those reasons, I think your audience and Bears fans and maybe the Bears front office should want Trubisky to win the job. Because to me, Foles is the bird in the hand. I know who this guy is. I want something better than that. Like you said, he's insurance, and that's fine. But I want Mitch to be better than that. And if he can't be, I know I have to go get a quarterback for sure. But what's interesting to me is the public doesn't get four preseason games to watch and say, Mitch stinks. They got to play Foles. You know what I mean? Like, Mitch can't lose his job this year in the public opinion because we're going to get reports of who's having better camps and who's having better practices. But you and your audience and Bears fans couldn't watch four preseason games and be like, boy, Mitch looks awesome or Mitch looks horrible, you know?
Yeah, it's really good. I think one of the things that's going to benefit Mitch quite a bit in this process, not only not having those preseason games, but even just less opportunity for Nick Foles. I mean, as much as the Bears have praised Foles' familiarity, you know, he worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City and Philadelphia, and same with, you know, they hired the quarterbacks coach, John DeFilippo. I mean, a whole slew of offensive coaches have worked with Nick Foles in the past. He still can't recreate that timing with receivers and that, you know, that carrying the huddle and understanding all the different nuances of specifically how Matt Nagy is doing things in Chicago. And, you know, what, 3 or 4 weeks of padded practices at training camp are not a lot of time for Nick Foles to impress enough to unseat Trubisky, because as much as the Bears call it an open competition, Trubisky is the incumbent and he is the one who's familiar and he's the guy that they want. I mean, they won't say it, but they want him to win. The Bears benefit more if Trubisky is the starter and playing well than they do if Nick Foles is the starter and playing well. But that playing well part is the more difficult and the bigger question mark in there. I agree with you that he has to be doing some things with his legs and simplifying some things offensively. I just feel like Matt Nagy gets a little frustrated and feels like he's limited in what he can do with some of the receivers and the different things coming from that Kansas City offense. Whereas even if Nick Foles is kind of, a boring, plain, you know what you're getting, at least it gives Matt Nagy some of that creativity to say, all right, if I know this is what my quarterback is going to give me week in and week out, rather than the constant ups and downs we saw from Trubisky, at least he can kind of game plan around that and, you know, get Cordarrelle Patterson going creatively, Tariq Cohen. I mean, they got a lot of different weapons that can make a consistent quarterback better. They just need more of that consistency if it's going to be Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and you mentioned Patterson. I think everything you said there makes an awful lot of sense. And we had kind of planned to go – I like to pull the curtain back and tell the audience what we were thinking to do and then call an audible on the fly. We were thinking about going around the NFC North, but I have a lot more Bears stuff to chat with you about. Do you just want to do more Bear talk?
Hey, absolutely. I'm always ready to talk Bears.
I figured.
At this point, I'm always ready to talk Built Bar, too, because I am absolutely in love, and I've fallen in love all over again because I got to try their new cookies and cream flavor today, and literally I bite into it, and it tastes the consistency and the flavor of a chocolate-covered marshmallow in the shape of a protein bar. It tastes exactly the same, but it's got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. It sounds too good to be true. Like, if I was listening to me say that, I would be skeptical. But I'm telling you, you taste it and you know right away. It is everything you want and more. And I cannot recommend you try these Built Bar flavors enough, because it's not just cookies and cream that's delicious. I love the coconut. I love the caramel brownie. You can't go, I haven't had a flavor that I don't like, but those two are definitely my go-tos. In addition to now, cookies and cream added in my life has changed everything completely. Try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, we are back, and I'll start with the positive. First of all, I don't even want to talk all that much about the Bears defense. I'm very impressed with it. I think they're going to bounce back and be one of the elite units in the league. The Robert Quinn over Floyd upgrade to me is much bigger than maybe my audience realizes. I think that's gigantic. I wish Eddie Goldman was in the mix, but let's focus on the offense. I think the Bears D is going to be very, very good. I recently wrote an article. It was somewhat fantasy related, but for Pro Football Network, that I think Anthony Miller is due to really break out this year. Like, that word gets thrown around a lot, breakout season. I think it's coming for Miller opposite Robinson.
That's what we thought last year a little bit too in his second year. And we kind of found out why just a couple of last week, where the wide receivers coach, Mike Furry, said it bluntly. We couldn't trust him last year, 2019. He said we couldn't trust him at certain points of the year to really be in the playbook as deep as they wanted him, and to be, taking all of the different nuances in terms of route running and doing all the little things to be a successful NFL wide receiver. But it sounds like this year is different. That this year they're doing, they're seeing a different Anthony Miller in terms of a guy who's taking it seriously and not just sort of relying on his natural talent and his natural skill set, but to be able to put in that hard work. So I think a lot of people around Hallis Hall are expecting a lot of what you're seeing. It's just going to be, okay, can the quarterbacks actually do their end of the job to make sure that, Anthony Miller has those opportunities? But there's a lot of different ways you can slice and dice some of his past performances and find a lot of reason to be successful in the future.
Okay, and now I'm going to kind of run out of optimism on the Bears O. And you mentioned Cohen, you mentioned Patterson. Both those guys are hard to play against. They're great with the ball in their hands, but they're not foundational players. They're spokes on a wheel. They're situational. What's your take on David Montgomery? I was really interested to read yesterday or today that he shaves some weight, and I'm going to bring it back to the Steelers. That's a real Steeler thing to do. Like, Lev Bell dropped 20 pounds after his rookie year. Benny Snell right now is dropping weight. And it seems to work for these guys after a year in the league when they realize, boy, I'm not quite as quick and elusive as I was, or I need to be more so in order to get away from these tackles, where maybe with a little bit of shaved weight, a little bit of quickness, that tackle you almost broke, that you broke in college every time, now you get away from, because he was an elite after contact runner. I'm not saying he's the answer or I love the guy, but I'm curious your thoughts. And I was happy to read that little nugget about him. Not that he was fat or anything, but, just getting leaner and in better shape.
Yeah, he said over the weekend that he kind of took a lot more discipline with his diet, cut out some of the inflammatory foods, said he was a big Flamin' Hot Cheetos guy his rookie season. And
oh, really?
Yeah, took those out, cut out the Krispy Kreme donuts, and trimmed his body fat percentage.
Idea.
Yeah, especially for
advice for all of our listeners. Yeah.
Yeah, really. The David Montgomery diet plan is something we should all take up when one of these off seasons. But regardless, brought the body fat percentage down, brought the weight down. It was more like 5 or 6 pounds of actual body weight. But I think the bigger thing was losing body fat and adding even some muscle to that. In addition to losing the weight, he probably would have lost more weight if he hadn't added some of the muscle, but really being disciplined with his workouts as well. I think he feels like he's in the best shape of his life, which, you hear plenty of NFL players say, but you're right that last season, the after contact wasn't quite there. He still forced like 47 missed tackles, I think, is what Pro Football Focus had him with, which was pretty darn good for a rookie running back, but he wasn't getting a lot of yards after contact. Some of that a reflection of, where contact was being made with him, getting hit at or behind the line of scrimmage quite a bit, and there's only so much you can do. The Bears offensive line needs to be better to help him. The coach needs to do a better job of calling more running plays and having more of a consistent scheme behind it. Sometimes it was kind of just throw a run play in here or there, but it didn't feel like it had a lot of, game plan to it. So there's a lot of reason to think Dave Montgomery could take that next step this season, but it's a question of, I guess, what exactly that next step is, because I don't think he's going to burst out and be a 1,500-yard running back, but, you know, a little bit more consistent, you know, hit that 1,000-yard mark. I think there's a lot of the potential there, but the Bears do want to work Cordarrelle Patterson in at running back a little bit more. Tariq Cohen didn't have much success in the backfield last year. I think they don't want to put it all on David Montgomery's shoulders, but it sounds like his shoulders are much more capable of taking it this year.
Yeah, that's really well said, and I'm not giving Montgomery a pass, but I'm leaning that way a little bit in terms of, you know, it's not the running backs don't matter conversation, but it's more like if you're playing against the Bears, you're not going to let the running game beat you. You know, you're going to make that quarterback make throws to beat you out of and bring the extra guy in the box.
No doubt that the Bears weren't able to deliver David Montgomery very many clear rushing lanes, but you don't have to worry about delivery when you use the DoorDash app. DoorDash brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local restaurants or even choose from your favorite national chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. Ordering is super easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off. If you've never tried it before, now is the time to enjoy the convenience, because right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
I feel like an underreported national story is I fear that the Bears O-line is in conversation for worst in the league. I really think that when we look back at this season, and I hate to say it, I'm gonna take the Bears on the under on their over-under total, and we're going to all blame the quarterback. We're all going to blame Montgomery. They're going to lose a lot of 13-10 games. And I think if you watch the All-22, we're going to say they couldn't block anybody.
That was definitely a big part of the problem last season. I mean, Mitch had his own issues, but the offensive line, both in the running game and passing game, not always where it needed to be. They feel like, you know, the coaching change they made on the offensive line, they let go of Harry Hiestand, who had a great reputation, but for whatever reason didn't seem to quite mesh well with Matt Nagy and the coaching staff, replaced him with Juan Castillo, who's been a longtime NFL offensive line coach, worked with Matt Nagy in Philadelphia, and has a lot of the same connections that Nick Foles does with a lot of these Bears coaches. And they're otherwise running it back with four of the five same starters, and then they brought in Jermaine Ifedi to compete at right guard. But you know, Seahawks fans will know that's not necessarily a confidence-building move right there right on the offensive line. They need their young guys to play better. You know, Cody Whitehair at center, a second-round pick a couple of years ago, had an off year last season, but they think, you know, with Juan Castillo really emphasizing the importance of that center position, that he can lead in that role and, you know, command the offensive line from the middle, make the right calls, the protections, and kind of keep things a little bit more squared away there. They need James Daniels.
He's their best lineman, though, don't you think?
Say that again?
Whitehair's their best lineman.
At this point, yeah. I mean, they gave him the big contract extension, too, to, I think, because they definitely feel that. But, you know, they used a second-round pick 2 years ago on James Daniels out of Iowa, and his development hasn't quite come on the trajectory that they want. Like, it seems like, you know, with Whitehair and Daniel, and to some extent Charles Leno at left tackle, it feels like they have guys with some talent. It just hasn't formed properly on the field, and that's why they're banking on this offensive line coach change being the difference. But at the same time, it's the same five guys that struggled so much last year. Is everything going to drastically change with a new coach, or to some extent are these guys just who they are at this point?
I've always thought Daniels was more of a center too. And I know he's going to be a guard, and they're, you know, Whitehair can do both. And that's been kind of an odd dynamic too.
Yeah. Part of that, I think, was the making calls at the line of scrimmage and protections, that when they had James Daniels at center as a rookie, it was probably a little bit too much for him that early in his NFL career. And eventually they kind of had to make the switch back when there were some protection breakdowns. It wasn't so much his blocking necessarily, just as it was the leadership and the really scheme understanding that you need for that position.
But you can't be fond of the right side of the line.
No, it's, you know, Bobby Massey is NFL average offensive tackle at best, you know, and they gave him a contract extension a couple years ago to the head scratching of a lot of people. But I think it's one of those things where it's like the devil you know versus the devil you don't, where you know Bobby Massey's got his ups and downs, but you kind of know what you're going to get with him. Whereas if you try and, you know, release him and try and upgrade him in the offseason, and maybe you draft somebody or maybe you try and sign someone else, you never know for sure that it's going to be an upgrade. So, okay, leave that one where it is, so at least it's not a new question mark, and address other issues on the offense first. But again, right guard doesn't feel like it's been all that well addressed either. And yeah, it's going to be one of those, I think you're right, underlying stories here for this Bears offense, that everyone's going to look at the quarterbacks, but the offensive line is the other big thing that needs to be better.
Yeah, and let's say the Bears end up picking 10, 12, something like that. I know we're really projecting. If it's not a quarterback, would you put a chip down that it would be an offensive lineman?
The Bears have never been a team to really hone in on a position in the first, especially that early in the draft. But I would put offensive line among the absolute top needs with that draft pick. Absolutely.
Gotcha. I don't have anything more. Is there anything else you want to chat about?
No, I mean, I do think not to go deep into this Bears defense, but I have some concerns about their secondary in particular.
Do you?
They lost Prince Mukamara, who's not a stud, but one of those, again, consistency. You know what you're getting with him, and you know the other cornerback spot was originally going to be Artie Burns, and you're well familiar with how that plays out. So now it's a second-round pick. Jalen Johnson is likely going to start there, but he's injured right now and hasn't been able to practice. The other safety spot next to Eddie Jackson, probably going to be Tashawn Gibson. And, you know, again, a consistent veteran, but I think a step down from what they've had in recent years with HaHa Clinton Dix and Adrian Amos. And I'm still not crazy about their slot cornerback Buster Screen. So I feel like there's some room there for the secondary to take a step back. But like you talked about with Robert Quinn, they feel like the front seven being a little bit not only healthy again from last season, but add some of that energy on the pass rush. The idea is that they're supposed to make up for the defense. And I think there's a possibility for a little bit of a step back, but certainly I don't think they're going to fall out of the top 10.
Oh, yeah, I, as well said. I mean, I think the secondary is a little concerning. I think they were kind of counting on Burns to at least compete for snaps. I think what's interesting at the corner position is Vic Fangio's defense, and we're seeing this now in Denver, is very corner friendly. They don't ask a ton out of their corners. They don't leave them on islands. And Chuck Pagano's now in his second season as the defense coordinator. And actually, Chuck was our secondary coach the year I was with the Browns. He's a great guy. And he's a little more versatile. You know, I mean, I think he was trying to implement, you know, kind of take what Fangio built so well and then add some wrinkles. And I hope that things don't change schematically where you're asking a lot from that corner position, because it's not really built that way right now.
Yeah, that was one of the things Eddie Jackson said, is that like Chuck Pagano's trying to go to more, especially on third downs, more man-to-man coverage. And you know, leaving some of those guys one-on-one and saying, hey, you go beat the guy in front of you. And, you know, Kyle Fuller's the Bears' best cornerback, but he's never been a stellar man-to-man. I mean, he's an off-zone cornerback and very good at what he does. But that was, you know, Fangio's thing, is like they weren't going to disguise too much what they were doing at cornerback. All the disguise came at linebacker and safety. So we'll see how Pagano's flavor on this goes, and maybe he has to change it up during the season if it stops working. But he doesn't seem like a guy who's too dead set on, we have to do it this way. He's just going to try and find what works for his guys and what he's comfortable with.
Yeah, and I think that's who he is after being around him. He is a versatile guy. He's been a head coach, understands that there's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, those coaches that we have to do it my way aren't successful. And I think that he's the right man for the job to understand that.
Yeah, well, Matt, it's clearly you share a lot of the same similarities in terms of just kind of rolling with it and being able to be the right man for the job. Matt, it's been a pleasure joining you today on Locked On NFL. We'll have to do it again sometime. We'll encourage Brian to take another vacation.
Yeah, this was fun. We'll have you on too during the year, if not sooner, and talk Bears with you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing the Peacock and Williamson new feed on iTunes and wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure if you're listening to this, go and subscribe to that, because that's where Matt and Brian are going to be moving. And then the new Locked On NFL show is going to be exciting, with a lot of different voices getting involved, a lot of different perspectives. And I think that's going to help give an even more well-rounded approach to covering the NFL. You're not just going to hear, you know, one man's perspective or a couple man's perspective, albeit a very educated and informed perspective. But getting some different voices in there, I think, will be a lot of fun and a big benefit for the network.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be good stuff for everyone.
Our thanks to Matt Williamson for joining us on the show today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest news out of Bears training camp. We're not obsessing over the quarterback competition, but we're keeping an eye on it when there are important developments in either direction. But we're still touching on all the other key positions that have to come together in addition to the quarterback, because this season in particular, it's really going to take a collective effort to bear down.